Hi, welcome to First Press Church Podcast. At the end of this message, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast channel or our YouTube channel for the latest Sunday messages. We're so glad to have you be a part of our worship from afar. It is our prayer that this message will ignite a fire in your spirit for a closer walk with God.
Hey, good morning, church. Good morning. Woo! I hope that made you laugh a little bit, that little ditty. We got a ditty. This is a Make You Smile series. This is a Make You Smile series. We want to, there's a lot to cry about. We want to spend some time in the good news. We've been skimming in our fall series, Lead Me Home. We were sort of skimming over the tops of scripture really fast. I don't know if you noticed that, but now what we're doing in this series is we're gonna actually stop the boat over John 15, and we're gonna dive as deep as we can. So I'm excited about this. This is a beautiful scripture, beautiful teaching of Jesus. So open your Bibles to John chapter 15, and let's open our hearts in prayer. Father, here's your church. Here are your children gathered. Have mercy on us. Pour out your spirit that we can not only understand your word, but believe your word, and in believing live. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. John 15, 1-7. Jesus speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. We are in a hurry. We're all in a hurry. Getting it fast is the theme of our times. I'm actually, we all come from different generations. I'm of the microwave generation. Don't laugh. You young people, don't laugh. I remember that was a big deal when we got a microwave, when we brought it home, when we plugged it in, when we heard that sound, that whoosh, like, what's going to happen? Like, are we going to blow up? We wondered if the door's like slightly open and we turn it on, is it going to cook our guts from the inside out? Like, what is this thing? So we were so excited to have this microwave to cook things fast. So we decided, let's try some stuff. So we tried some chocolate chip cookies. No, fail. No. We tried brownies. Let's cook brownies in the microwave. What do you think?
Fail.
We tried pizza. Let's make pizza. No, fail. I mean, that was, even with the little silver thing, you know, that they came up with, terrible. But then I tried s'mores. And you watch that marshmallow grow like to the size of a melon. That's a beautiful thing. A big, glorious, sloppy mess. Absolutely. We want it faster, faster, quicker, quicker. Everything, every technological advance that we make is about making something faster. We want things so fast that we have to come up with new measurements of time. The microsecond has given way to the nanosecond, has now given way to the zeptosecond. Zeptosecond, one sextillionth of a second. Do you have zeptoseconds on your watch? The smallest measurable fragment of time right now is 247 zeptoseconds on the atomic clock. We like things fast. We got to get it instantly. I mean, when I'm trying to download a movie on my phone, if it takes more than 60 seconds, I start to feel something inside, don't you? like this urge, something goes, like there's something wrong. I start to think there must be some injustice happening in the world. What's going on here? We want it faster. We deserve it faster. But all this rush, all this push to get further faster, it makes us feel a little hurried. And Christians are starting to ask, is this really good for us? Books like John Mark Comer's The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry are flying off the shelves. There is a theologian named Kosuke Koyama. He published a group of essays in 1979 under the title 3 Mile an Hour God. And his point was, God, who could do anything like that, who could do anything in an instant, God took on flesh in Jesus Christ. He walked the streets of Jerusalem. He walked the earth at the pace of human walking, 3 miles an hour. Maybe that's the pace of love. That's the pace of Jesus. Never hurried, never rushed, always on time. I realized I didn't have that book on my shelves, so I ordered it online. I paid to have it rushed, one day delivery. I mean, when are they going to come out with those delivery drones? Am I right? I am sick of waiting for stuff. But actually, we might be sick of rushing. Hurry sickness. This series, Insta, is just a little minute to take a poke at our rush lives. The best things in life don't come in a hurry. They don't come instantly. The best things in life don't come in a rush. Time spent with the person you love the most. A good meal. Walking through a part of God's beautiful creation. You don't rush those things. You inhabit those things. You want them to last. We might need to slow down. We might need to, as the African proverb says, we might need to stop long enough for our souls to catch up with our bodies. We might need to slow things down and connect with Jesus. We may be addicted to the instant. One staff member said, you know, Tim, there's an Instagram group about Instapots, which I follow for instant updates. Pastor Nikki Gumbel said, in today's generation, our lives have become so instantaneous that anything requiring patient perseverance can appear unattractive. We require instant returns, instant results, but sometimes the biggest payoffs are a long time coming. Faster isn't always better. One of my favorite stories about Jesus when I was a young man coming to Christ, coming to new faith, was the story of a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. She'd suffered for 12 years. And Jesus was being rushed by the crowd to go and heal the daughter of a prominent religious leader named Jairus. And as Jesus was being rushed along, this woman who'd been bleeding 12 years, she reached through the crowd and she just touched the edge of Jesus' clothes. And she was immediately healed. And this is how Mark tells the rest of the story. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. The whole truth. You see, Jesus had said, everybody stop. Where's this woman? And she came and sat down with him, told him the whole truth. My young life leader at the time giving the talk said, listen, the whole truth was a 12-year truth. That took a minute. And with all the rush of everything happening around Jesus, what did he do? He sat there and he listened to the whole truth. And I want to tell you, he wasn't looking at his phone while he was listening to her either. And he wasn't popping his eyes scanning for a more interesting conversation partner. This is our Jesus. He's not in a rush with you. Jesus always has time for you. Amen. So Jesus, he wants to tell us today about Insta fruit. You think there's anything such as Insta fruit? No, there's no such thing. Even the replicators on the Starship Enterprise can't make fruit instantly. Not as good as the real thing. You Trekkies know what I'm talking about. Everybody on Star Trek always complains about the instant fruit. How many Trekkies are in the house? Can you just raise your hand, please? Trekkie. Okay, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just go to any of these kind people. They know what's good. You can't have fruit in an instant. It doesn't work. Jesus lived in an agrarian society, and so he used all of these illustrations of farming and working in a vineyard. He said, guys, you know what it's like? The kingdom of God is like a seed that falls into the ground and it grows really slowly. It dies under the ground where you can't see it, and then beautiful things emerge over time. He said, you know what the kingdom is like? It's like a tree that grows incrementally, day after day it grows. Sometimes the kingdom of God is something that grows imperceptibly, but then it becomes this great, beautiful shelter, this great, beautiful fruit hangs from its branches. Yes, Jesus used these agrarian images, and he was a great communicator. So you could say, well, Jesus was living in that time. That was a kind of a farming time. And so Jesus just picked these illustrations so that they would connect with people. They'd understand what he was talking about. Well, Jesus knew when he would be talking to us. It's deeper than that. God wants us to see ourselves this way. God wants us to think of our lives this way. We need to slow down and grow. We need to slow down and connect with Jesus. We need to let our souls catch up with our bodies sometimes and let Jesus pour his life-giving spirit into our souls, in us and through us, that we can grow. We need to think of ourselves more like plants, less like machines. We need to be growing in him. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Remaining is not instant. That's over time. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's move through it verse by verse. Verse 1. I hope you're, open your Bibles. We're going to dig into John 15. This is one of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture. I am the true vine, Jesus said, and my Father is the gardener. I am the true vine. This is the last in the Gospel of John of Jesus' famous I am statements, where Jesus would, by using the words I am, he associated himself with the name of God that was revealed to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, where God said, I am that I am, who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And so this was regarded as the name of God. And Jesus would say, I am, I am, I am. And you look at this. This is the last of Jesus' famous I am statements in the Gospel of John. And you might think, well, Jesus, you kind of ended with a whimper, like this, compared to before Abraham was, I am, and I am the resurrection and the life, or I am the light of the world. I am the true vine is kind of, look, I'm not up here to criticize you, Jesus, right? But that's kind of weak sauce to finish up with. But if you go back and you study through scriptures, how many different times, how many different ways the people of God are represented as a vine, you'll look at it differently. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of God's promises to care for us. I am the true vine. Verse 2, my Father's the gardener, Jesus said. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. What do we learn from that? We learn that God is invested in fruit. God intends to see fruit emerge. God wants to see fruit in his vineyard, in his church, in his people. God wants fruit to emerge in our lives. And so what does he do? He prunes. Any gardener can tell you that once a branch has died, you can't just leave it attached. It'll draw nutrients away and waste them. It'll promote disease and decay. You've got to cut it off. We like to hold on to things sometimes way past their time. You've got to let God cut those things off. You've got to let him cut off the dead branches. Healthy branches are pruned back too. We need God's pruning sometimes in our lives so that good things that are overextended can actually be cut back, and the excellent things, the better things, can even become even more excellent, even more productive. Is there anybody in the house who feels slightly overextended in any part of their life? Yeah, you just ask the Lord. Verse 3, you are already clean, Jesus says, because of the word I have spoken to you. If you're a reader of the Gospel of John, you're going to read that and think, well, that belongs like two chapters back. And that same night in John chapter 13 is when Jesus washed the disciples' feet and told them they're clean. So you think, well, maybe this got displaced or something. No, clean is also a way to talk about the pruning. It's the way a gardener will talk about having trimmed a bush for its health. And Jesus says you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. What I want you to see there is in this little verse, what I want you to see is that the word of God has the power to prune and to trim your life. It's the word of God that trims things back. It's the word of God that clips things back. Listen, the worst disservice a leader, a teacher can do is to dull the sharp edges of the word of God in your life. You need God's word to confront you, to stop you, to halt you, to turn you. The word of God prunes. It does it in at least three ways. The word of God prunes us by convicting us of sin, causing us to repent and turn in a better way. By elevating holiness, the word of God elevates holiness, focuses our attention and our energy. And the word of God promotes our nourishment, our nurture, our growth. The word of God is the power to prune. Jesus said, you are clean because of the word. Now we get to the key. Verse 4. Insta fruit is no such thing. No such thing. Jesus says, this is going to take time. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain. And isn't that funny? It's like, doesn't this happen all the time? Someone says, nobody can do that. And then we think, but maybe I can. Jesus says, no. It's for all people. It's the truth. Not only can nobody bear fruit, but you can't bear fruit unless you remain in me. Remain. Abide. That's what we used to, the old translation said, abide in Christ. This is not an instant download. This is a meaningful, faithful connection with Christ through time, over seasons, long seasons. Seasons when the rain and the wind pelt down, causing the roots to grow deeper down in the underground places. Seasons when the cold sets in and freezes the sap in the tree. It looks like the tree is lifeless and brittle and dead. There's not a single thing on these dead branches of wood. Seasons when the sun comes up again and the warmth of the sun causes life to emerge and blossoms come. Seasons when the branches are heavy with fruit. Through seasons, you see? Have you been through seasons? It's abiding with Christ through seasons that brings the fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. This is our key verse, church. Would you read this with me? Help me read this. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing, Jesus says. Not you can do some stuff, but not as good as if I helped you out. And he says, nothing. Nothing. A vine branch is useless when it's disconnected. It can't do anything. It can't produce grapes. And what Jesus would know, and the people in his day would know, is that, or maybe you know this if you've worked in a vineyard, that they're actually not strong enough to do anything with once it's disconnected. You can't build anything out of it. The only thing you can do is get it out of the way, gather it up, and throw it in the fire. That's what Jesus says. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. There's nothing else to do with them. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We'll get back to that promise in verse 7. The key seems to be what? To remain. What Jesus is trying to show us is that we've got to remain. to abide. He says it like 11 times in 10 verses. You need to remain. You need to abide. You need to hang on and hang in. How do you do that? How do you abide in Christ? God wants fruit. To be honest, I want fruit. Don't you want fruit? I want the fruit in my life that matters. I want the fruit in my life that is beautiful and good, the fruit that is eternal and full of life, the fruit that the Bible describes in Galatians 5 as the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Lord, I would stop right there, right? Just to have those in my life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I hear some memorizing going on in the front row. I love that. I love that. The fruit of the Spirit of God, the fruit that matters, the fruit that lasts. This is what we want hanging off of our lives. It's not an instant download. It's not something that happens in an instant. These things are going to be about habits. These things are going to be about practices. They're going to be about priorities. It's a way of life. Let's say that you wanted to grow, you decided you wanted to grow some tomatoes. So you took a tomato vine and you pin it to your wall. Or actually, you pin it to the wall in the back of your closet because you're kind of embarrassed. You don't want people to see you're growing these kinds of things. So you pin it to the wall in the back of your closet. But that's okay. Every now and then, when it's convenient, you take it out. You take it out and you, every, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks or so, you take it out and you dip it in some water and you hold it in the soil for about an hour. Okay? Then you take it out of there, you pin it to the wall again. Is that going to do it? What do you think? And is anybody following me? You know where I'm going with this? This is what Christians are trying to do with their faith. This is what many of us are trying to do with Jesus. It's like Jesus, when it's convenient, every 4, 5, 6 weeks or so, I'll take my faith out. I'll practice my faith. We'll hit church before we go to brunch, something like that. Listen, that's not going to do it. That's not going to sustain the growth that God intends in your life. Good things grow slowly from good practices, from good habits. They emerge over time. Rarely does anything good come from a quick fix or a shortcut. What is Jesus getting at with these illustrations, with these farming pictures? He's saying that things that are good grow. And it's not just about one moment of belief, one grand epiphany in your life. Listen, if you're searching for Christ, if you don't know the Lord, the first time you say yes to him and open your heart to him, it is a flash of light. It is like a lightning blast. But what Jesus is saying is to walk with me, to bear fruit with me. This is day in, day out, habits of faithfulness, practices to abide in me. Now, there are many practices to abide in Christ, but the three simplest are just simply this: daily prayer, daily time in his word, weekly coming together with the people of God to worship and praise. And all three of those three practices are right here in these seven verses. Look, prayer. Verse 7, Jesus says, ask whatever you wish. That's prayer. Open your heart to God. The Bible. Verse 3, you are clean because of the word. The word has a cleaning, pruning, trimming effect. And then you say, church. Where's church, Tim? Is there church in this passage? Because I know you, I know your little tricks. You're always trying to get us to go to church more, you know? So did you just shoehorn church into this? What are you doing, Tim? Well, that's true. I do want you to go to church more. Because I want you to abide in Christ. I want to see the fruit of God in your life. I want to see the fruit emerging in our body. But listen, where's church? We read this passage in its translation that we've got, and we read that word you, and we think it means me. We think this is must be individuals. As an individual, how do I abide in Christ? How do I, in my individual practice, hold on and allow the word to prune me? Listen, that word you, Y-O-U in that scripture, that is a plural word. That is a word you guys, you all of you together. You're not meant to go it alone. Come together and abide in Christ. Come together and be sharpened by his word. Come together and be nourished in the presence of his spirit. Come together. The worst thing in the world is to try to bear fruit when you're some isolated plant out on the edge of the desert. No, come together. Come together. These simple practices. Simple practices. Otherwise, Jesus says, you're as disconnected as a dead branch. You can do nothing. Nothing, Jesus says. And that seems a lot. That seems like a hard thing to say. You're telling me, Jesus, I can do nothing? I can do some things. I can breathe. I can walk. I can make a grilled cheese sandwich. Jesus is talking about the fruit of the kingdom, the fruit that matters. He says, you can do nothing. You can't produce this fruit on your own. You can't produce this kind of a fruit just by trying, just by efforting on your own. I want to make joy in the world. I want to make peace in the world. I'm just going to try. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it alone. But if you are in Christ, if you remain in Christ, something else happens. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. And it will be done for you. That's, again, a large claim. Whatever I wish. Well, I wish for the big house on the hill. I wish for $1 million. Whatever I wish. Jesus says, look, if you abide in me and my words are in you and my words are shaping you, forming you, changing you, tilting your desires towards the things of the kingdom of God. And you will pray. And what Jesus is saying is, when you pray, you will see the very power of God. Well, what about the things that I pray for that are good, Tim? What about the godly prayers that haven't been answered? I pray that my wife will survive this cancer. I pray that my child will turn back to the Lord. Listen, there are many things about which God has purposes that are beyond our understanding, and we will, all of us, come into the kingdom of God still waiting in suspense, longing and hoping to see something happen. But what Jesus is saying is this. What Jesus is promising is this. When you abide in him, when you are connected to him, you are connected to the very power of God. The only power that can do, the only power that can build, the only power that can produce the fruit that lasts and matters. The fruit of eternal life. And in the end, in the very end, you will turn and you will see how all of your hopes, all of your wishes have come true in him. Jesus secures all of this for us. He makes it possible for us to be connected to the power of God, to the flowing life that produces the fruit in us that matters and lasts. Jesus makes it possible for us to connect with God. And he makes it possible for us to remain connected with God. How? Because Jesus died for us. Jesus took our place. There's one more layer to Jesus saying, I am the true vine. If you go back and you read these passages about the true vine, if you read them in the Old Testament, you're going to see they read pretty harsh. Look at Psalm 80, you look at Isaiah 5, look at Jeremiah 2. What you see is that God is frustrated with the vine. And what God says is, I gave you this perfect spot. I planted you in this beautiful soil, my vine, my precious vine. And you don't produce anything of good. All you do is want to do evil. And what you see in these passages is God is frustrated with the vine, and he turns and he says, so I will cut you down. I will cut you down, you fruitless vine. Jesus steps forward and says, wait. I'll be the vine. I'm the true vine. I'll be cut down so that they can live. I'll be cut off and dead so that they can be connected and have life. I am the true vine who stands in the place. and pays the penalty for their sins. Jesus took our place. God took our place in Jesus Christ, his Son, our true vine, so that we can be forgiven and restored, redeemed, and have the power of his life flowing through us, flowing in us, through our veins, through our vines, to bear the fruit that matters. He was cut off so we could grow. Jesus, we thank you for these teachings, so good for us. You tell us to remain in you, to hold on to you, but Jesus, the best news of all is when you say you will remain in us, you will abide with us, you will hold on to us. Jesus, hold on to us. Hold on to us. Thank you for being our true vine, for taking our place. And we pray, Jesus, that you would hold on to us and pour your Holy Spirit through us, that your fruit would emerge for your glory and your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Once again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you live in the Colorado Springs area, we'd love to have you here on Sunday mornings. To find us online, just search First Pres Colorado Springs.